David had been a shepherd. He had tended his father's flocks. He had a knack for caring for these creatures who were often helpless and easily distracted. Now, there's something about a shepherd that tells us something about God. God is like a shepherd. David discovered this, and later he would pen the immortal words we know as Psalm 23. God is very much concerned about us who are often helpless and easily distracted. Psalm 23 is perhaps one of the best known passages in the Bible. And as we've seen throughout this series, it speaks directly to the joys and fears of being human. It reminds us of the goodness of the Lord toward his people. We are like sheep under the care and guidance of the divine shepherd. Now, David concludes this psalm with these words. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Through this psalm, we see that the divine shepherd offers us a place. The closing words give us a glimpse of what the shepherd's place is like. The text says, "You anoint my head with oil." This tells us that the shepherd's place is a place of welcome and relief. Flying insects plague sheep in the summer months. Oil is a natural bug repellent, and it also helps with the healing of the skin. Shepherds of the ancient Near East used a combination of oil mixed with a little bit of sulfur and spices, and they would rub it into the skin, especially around the head. The shepherd would use this mixture to care for the sheep. Now, that may be the image here, but the image may also be referring to the hospitality that a shepherd would extend to someone visiting in his home. In the summertime, that would be a tent. In the wintertime, that would be a house. Pouring oil on someone's head was an act of hospitality. Today, if you did that, you'd likely get a broken nose. But back then, it was a good thing. And it helped them to freshen up, to get clean and ready for the meal. David, perhaps recalling the hospitality of the shepherd Barzillai when David was on the run from Absalom, is grateful to God for welcoming him back into the fold. God extends the same invitation to us. He does not do so reluctantly, as though he could barely tolerate us. Rather, he does so graciously and generously because he loves us so much. The prophet Isaiah tells us that God is like a mother who never forgets her nursing child. Jesus tells us God is like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home. Now, according to the laws of hospitality, David would also have found refuge in Barzillai's tent. So those who sought David's destruction were supposed to stay away and honor the code. Now, would Absalom have honored the code had he caught up to David? Maybe. Maybe not. We don't know. In reality, no place on earth is completely safe. Our only true refuge is the Lord. The passage says, my cup overflows. The shepherd's place is a place of satisfaction and rejoicing. The caring shepherd provides more than just the bare necessities for the sheep. He wants them to be fully satisfied and happy. He's willing to take them to better grazing pastures and to better water sources, even if it involves risk on his part. Jesus was willing to risk his life for his sheep. And if he was willing to give his life for us, surely we can trust him to give him everything that we need. Paul puts it this way. If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? Romans 8, verse 32. Our divine shepherd wants us to know complete satisfaction and joy. David says that his cup overflows. Now, apparently sheep will not drink from half-full containers. They'll ignore it. It has to be full, even overflowing. So the shepherd is constantly adding water to the container so it's overflowing so that they will, in fact, drink from the container and have water. And our refreshment is not unlike this. We're offered an overflowing kind of satisfaction from Jesus, who said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink, as the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. John 7, 37 to 38. Now, David knows that his cup will not always be full in this life, but he knows that the promise of the Lord is that the joy of the Lord, which the cup represents, will be his constant companion. And this is similar to what Jesus said. While you're in the world, you have to suffer, but cheer up, I have defeated the world. And then later he said, I have told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. John 15, 11. The next phrase in the psalm says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The shepherd's place is a place where love is relentless. Sheep, when properly managed and cared for, can aid the fertility of the land. It might take a moment of imagination. Okay, I'll let you catch up to that. But they can help turn a wild area into a fertile field. The good shepherd makes blessing follow his sheep. We need to see that God's loving blessing on his people is not for our benefit alone. Often God's blessing extends to us so that our blessings in turn can spread to others. We are blessed to be a blessing. Terry Muck makes this observation. The figures would be very difficult to come by, but the facts of the case, such as the single-handed raising of the world's health quotient and lifespan by Christian medical missions, and the comparative freedom and level of justice enjoyed by people living in countries that have a majority of Christian people, are enormously satisfying to those of us who passionately believe in the health and growth of the Christian church. In addition, consider that virtually every movement in civilization that has stressed mercy, care, giving, and nurture finds the Christian faith at its wellspring. Where did hospitals originate? with the Christian faith? Where did care for orphans originate? With the Christian faith. Where did prison reform, women's rights, child labor laws, emancipation, and a thousand other movements that have lightened the load of humanity come from? With the Christian faith. Visit anywhere the gospel has gone, and you will find people who will give. And because people give, people live. We are blessed to be a blessing. But before goodness and mercy can be blessings to others, we need to experience them for ourselves. The irony here is that before we know the Lord, we want very little to do with goodness and mercy. You probably heard about the little boy who came home from Sunday school crying. And his parents wanted to know what happened. And so he did his best to explain. The teacher told me that good Mrs. Murphy was going to follow me everywhere I went. Now, I don't know this Mrs. Murphy, but I don't want her to follow me everywhere I go. So I'm not going back to Sunday school. Now, of course, the little boy got confused about goodness and mercy, thinking the teacher was talking about good Mrs. Murphy. But here's the thing. He did get one thing right. He was correct in that this involves a relentless pursuit. The phrase, follow me all the days of my life, is a very mild translation of a Hebrew term that means to hunt down or chase after, and to do so without giving up. In fact, it was this verse in Psalm 23 that inspired Francis Thompson to write his famous poem, The Hound of Heaven. The Newman Press Book of Verse describes it this way: as the hound follows the hare, never ceasing in its running, ever drawing nearer in the chase, with unhurrying and unperturbed pace, so does God follow the fleeing soul by his divine grace. The Hound of Heaven was enormously influential on the author, J.R.R. Tolkien, who in turn helped C.S. Lewis come to faith in Christ. The Hound of Heaven, this poem, was also instrumental in bringing Dale Evans, the wife of cowboy, TV star, movie star Roy Rogers, back to God. She says, I saw that it told my own story of running and hiding from God. Over 18 years of sunshine and shadow, toil and pleasure, success and defeat, trying hard to get out of my life the sound of those steady, strong, haunting feet that followed me everywhere. Have you ever felt the hound of heaven? There's no need to be afraid. God is not trying to harm you. God is trying to love you. And God's love is relentless. The final words of the text say, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The shepherd's place is a place where relationships are restored. The shepherd's place, well, it's not easily defined in terms of time and space. It's not so much a location as it is a restored relationship with the one who made us. David found this out the hard way. The phrase, "and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord," is based more on the Greek translation of the Old Testament than the original Hebrew. The Hebrew actually says, "I will return to the house of the Lord." While a fugitive in Gilead, David may have wondered if he was ever going to be able to return to Jerusalem and to worship at the temple. But at some point, he realized that it does not matter. One could return to the Lord at any time and in any place. Right here, if you like. The house of the Lord was no longer just a physical structure in the capital city, but a taste of everlasting fellowship with God. Old Testament scholar H.J. Krauss defines the house of the Lord as an experience of the Lord's salvation that means we can remain in the presence of God for all time. In a similar way, Walter Brueggemann writes, "It is not the place, but the vitality of the relationship which transforms." Jesus speaks more plainly when he says, "In my Father's house are many rooms." By Father's house, he means, of course, heaven. We can believe that Christ is the finisher of that which he has begun. He says he goes to prepare a place for us. But he not only prepares a place for us who trust in him, he also prepares us for the place. Here is the greatest hope of every believer. Here is a powerful truth made simple. Heaven is where Jesus is. We need not speculate as to what heaven will be like. It is enough for us to know that heaven will be where Christ is and our loved ones in Christ are, with whom we can be forever. Psalm 23 is a powerful declaration of trust in God. The vivid images from a concrete common activity, shepherding, describes a caring, tender, welcoming God. In this song, and it is a song, David celebrates that he belongs to such a God. Indeed, all those who place their trust in the divine shepherd can rejoice with David that they belong to God. The goodness of the Lord becomes even more clear in the life and ministry of Jesus. He is the good shepherd who gave his life for his sheep. He's the one who offers us provision, peace, purpose, protection, and a place where we can be with God and God's people forever. My friends, place your trust in the divine shepherd.